Welcome to the Influence Community Podcast.
We are your hosts, Danielle and Alyssa.
We talk about all things influencing and the ever-changing industry.
We share a lot of tips, our personal experiences, and how to keep up with the social media space that's always evolving.
We also love to chit-chat and share life updates along the way.
We're so happy you're here and so excited for this week's episode.
Grab your drink of choice and let's dive in. Hey guys.
Hi queens.
Welcome back to the pod. Super fun week this week. We are recording this before the Super Bowl. So We obviously don't know the results of the Super Bowl, so we won't be talking about that. But this week's episode, we're really excited because we're going to do just like 10 non-negotiables of being a content creator and just rules that we follow. And yeah, just thought we could share that with you guys as an episode. But before that, do our updates, influence of the week, and then Valentine's Day is coming up this week. So we're going to do a cute little Valentine's Day this or that as well, because those are always fun and love doing them. So, okay, updates. So first, this weekend is the Super Bowl. Do you have any predictions or do you care which team wins? Do you have a preference?
Nothing.
Or like if you had to pick one,
okay,
who do you think is going to win?
Obviously the Chiefs. But okay. I only say that truly because I am a Taylor Swift
team Taylor
girl. And I'm like Travi and Taylor. Okay. But you know more about football. Like I hear that people want the Eagles to win / love the Eagles as a team.
Yeah, I feel like they both have really good stories, and I feel like I didn't want the Chiefs to make it this far, but since they have made it this far, now I want them to win, because then I think they'd be the first time that someone's ever won it three times in a row. So I'm like, they've already made it this far. That would be really, really cool. But then also the Eagles, I feel like, are just such like a gritty team. Like they work really hard, like they play hard, and like they deserve it too. But I feel like for this one, if I had to pick, I would just pick Chiefs so that they could get the three in a row.
Yeah, you know, I feel like at this point, it's like people are divided and don't want them to win just out of spite because like they're sick of seeing Taylor and like Travis. And like I'm sure if you like are really into football like way before all of this
like
happened,
you have your teams,
this is like so
team.
Annoying, I'm sure. So
yeah,
but I just cannot relate because I never really ever watched football. So
it's really funny too, because I know we kind of talked about this a little bit, but literally this past week leading up to the Super Bowl, I feel like no one is talking about it. Everyone's talking about the NBA and all the crazy trades. Yeah. And normally there's so much hype going up to the Super Bowl, but I don't think I've seen maybe one or two videos on TikTok, and it's literally the reporters asking Travis about Taylor. So it's like,
I honestly have not seen.
Oh, I did see the video of Josh Allen accepting his MVP award, and he was like thanking Hailee Steinfeld.
Okay, I heard
really
about
cute.
That on the toast, and they were describing it. It sounded very cute.
But truly, other than that, I feel like I have not really seen anything. I bet the NFL is just so pissed. And Andrew was telling me that apparently the NFL didn't used to have games on Christmas. Like that was the NBA's thing. And this past year they did have games on Christmas. So there's like this conspiracy theory that the NBA is trying to like get back at the NFL with like all of this like trade
That's
drama
funny.
And like to take away their hype because they took away theirs first.
Yeah,
I know.
Josh was just telling me about like how that went, like another crazy trade just didn't go through.
Yes.
But it was, yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, kind of crazy. Do you have any Super Bowl plans? Like, are you guys doing anything?
Yeah, every year Josh's like best family friends, they always host it. And so we always go over there. And it's just like a cute and wholesome time. What about you guys?
Yeah, a couple of Andrew's friends are hosting parties, but I don't know. I feel like I genuinely like to watch the game. Mm-hmm. And I feel like when you go to parties and stuff or you go to bars, it's very hard to do that.
Yeah.
Because like there's a lot of people around, there's talking, you know, all that. And so like I genuinely enjoy like all the pre-game like festivities, like all the songs that they sing and then like all the intros and whatnot. And then I do love to see the commercials.
I know.
Even though the past, they like aren't that great. But I just like, I don't want to miss like one that everyone's going to be talking about on Monday. You know what I mean? So love the commercials. And then, yeah, I mean, I don't like not like watching the game. I do enjoy it. So I think we're just going to stay home and watch it, which honestly I'm excited about. Just like a very low key Super Bowl.
Yeah.
When I was growing up, our family tradition, I don't know how this started, but it's so interesting. We would go and get our favorite foods from all of our favorite fast food restaurants. So like we would get our French fries at McDonald's, and then we would get, like, I would get a sub at Subway, and then we'd get a drink from like Jack in the Box, or like, wait, I don't know, like we all had our
cute
like random favorites. Yeah. So we'd go to every single spot and like get the favorite, and then we'd like lay out a picnic blanket on the floor and watch the game with like our
that's like spread. So cute, honestly. Like, sounds so fun.
My dad is super into football. I don't think I've ever mentioned this on the podcast, but he is a diehard Bears fan, and he actually goes to every single Bears game during the season. So he lives in Arizona, and he flies to Chicago every other weekend for their home games, and then most of the time he'll go to their away games in the other like states as well. And he literally goes every week. And that was the whole reason we went to London, was because the Bears were playing in London.
Oh my gosh, I just had an idea for his birthday. You should buy him a cameo, like a video from like the star player. If maybe they're not on it, I don't know, but if they are on it, like, and just be like, thanks for coming to all the games. Like,
no, it's so crazy at this point. The owner of the Chicago Bears like knows him, knows who he is, like will give him really good tickets if he can. Like, he has photos with the guy. Like,
I'm screaming.
Apparently he's like, I don't know the word, like viral or like well known in the like Chicago Bears like Facebook group, because every week he posts in it, and like he always takes pictures with the guy who's like always like painted. I don't know, it's like a whole thing.
That is,
it's a whole
so fandom. Wholesome and cute.
And he, so like growing up, he was really into football, so we all had like our favorite teams, and yeah, it was always just like a thing. Love so that's that. Just why I'm into football and why I like know it, because like my dad is diehard.
Yeah,
football fans. So yeah, just a fun little backstory. So but cute. Yeah, excited. And I would just so love if Taylor Swift
this is Alyssa's prediction and manifestation.
Yes I just like, from a PR perspective,
wait, you didn't finish your sentence.
Oh I got so excited. Okay, that Taylor Swift performs Bad Blood.
Yes.
And
with Kendrick.
I'm just like, yeah, with Kendrick, Taylor's version with Kendrick on it. I'm just like, from a PR perspective, if you want to have the most talked about Super Bowl performance of all time, this is the collaboration you need, because like everyone would just lose their mind. And she's going to be there anyway.
Yeah.
Again, that we're recording this before the Super Bowl, so
if it happens,
obviously if it happens, I will be screaming and unwell. And if it doesn't happen, then that's a real missed opportunity, in my opinion.
Like, I know, that would be really
like iconic. You just won all your Grammys, like, cool, you did your thing, like you re-recorded for Taylor on her album, like, amazing. Might as well. When are you guys ever going to perform this together live, ever? Like, never, except the Super Bowl.
Let's hope. That would be so crazy. I feel like I feel like the only reason I don't think it would happen is because he announced SZA as like his other performer. Ugh. And I just feel like it would take the complete attention.
Do her
attention.
And SZA have beef?
No, I just feel like if he pulled SZA onto his set, I feel like it would be like, I just feel like Taylor would literally take the entire attention away from like her.
Sorry,
completely. And then I'm like, then what was the point? Like, he should have just had it his own set, you know? So
wait, do him and SZA have any songs together?
I don't know. And I don't think so. I feel like maybe very they're
interesting.
I don't even know, because I was gonna say maybe their like listeners slash fan base like overlaps, but I actually don't think it would.
But like again, SZA, if you want to be part of the most talked about Super Bowl performance in history, then like Taylor Swift comes on in the closing and you guys have probably heard all the mashups on Instagram. Like, it's iconic.
Like, maybe like, SZA goes first, has her moment. Yes. Everyone's cheering. And then
Taylor Swift Kendrick, is literally just the closer. Like, closer. Ends.
Yeah. That would be
and like
amazing.
The press, the TikToks, like, everyone talking about it. Like, it just makes sense. But I don't think he cares that much, you know.
And I also think hardcore football fans are already so salty seeing her all the time at like the football stuff. But I feel stuff.
Like Kendrick is like all about like showing the haters.
True. Oh my gosh, so many funny videos you know? On TikTok about how like him and Taylor are like the number one haters. And like,
yeah, like how like being petty pays yes. off because so you win Grammys and have number one albums. Yeah. So funny. But okay, those are our Super Bowl predictions. Probably not going to happen, but if it does, please check on me on Monday because
true,
I will be unwell. Oh God, like yes. If you listen to that song, turn your volume all the way up. Like you just can't tell me you don't feel something.
Oh, it's a banger. So. For
it's
sure.
so good. Mm-hmm. Okay. I need Let's to like hope. Calm down.
Let's okay. hope.
Okay. Valentine's Day is this week. So that's exciting. Do you have any Valentine's so Day plans?
I feel like we have such a busy like week this week with just like little Valentine's Day gatherings and plans like this week and next. So just a cute month. Anyways, okay, but actual Valentine's Day plans. Josh and I are going to like one of our favorite restaurants on we're not going on Valentine's Day because there's always Same. Like prefix. Is that what how it's called? Prefix menus?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
every single time there's always a prefix menu and like yeah. sometimes it's not even your favorite thing. So it's like right. I don't love that. Yeah. So we're going to our favorite restaurant right now a few days before on the 12th. I think the 12th.
Wait, same. Tuesday?
Is it after the event we're going to? Aaron's event?
Oh.
Wait, maybe that's Wednesday? I know it's on that
oh,
day.
Oh, Aaron's is the 12th. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, wait. Never mind. Mine's the 11th then.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, on the 12th. Yes, going on the 12th. And then on actual Valentine's Day, we always, make dinner together and then do chocolate covered strawberries and like watch a movie.
Oh, yum.
Yeah. That's like our little tradition. So we always do like restaurant a few days before and then we like make a fun dinner and chocolate covered strawberries on Valentine's Day.
Love that.
What about you?
So we are doing dinner at my favorite restaurant, Steak 48, on Tuesday, which I think is the 11th, because they are like fully completely booked on Valentine's Day and they probably have been booked for like 6 months.
Yeah, probably.
So I set my open table alarm or notifications if anything becomes available. And like, we're like, we'll literally come in at 4 p.m., like your first time slot, and we'll be out in 2 hours. So like,
when did you guys like try to book it? I'm just wondering when people start booking Valentine's like, Day plans.
I mean, we looked a month out just because we know and it was already booked anyway.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But like, again, it like... It doesn't have to be on the exact day. And plus, it's usually a little busier, like you said, those days anyway. Yeah. So it's like almost like you don't get the same service that you would get on a regular day because it's so busy and hectic. So, yeah, I don't mind not going on the exact day. So we're going Tuesday night. So I'm really excited for that. It's my favorite restaurant. And then on actual Valentine's Day, I don't know if we have any plans yet, but I think we are going to kind of do same thing, like cook at home. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to do salmon. It's our favorite meal to cook at home. And then you inspired me and I want to make chocolate covered strawberries now too. So
like melt our favorite. Yeah, we both get our favorite chocolate bars, melt them, and you put it in the fridge and it's so good.
Yeah. Love that. So, and then probably like watch a movie. Just a cute little at-home date night, and then Andrew will get me like a cute card and like flowers, and I'll request a box of like See's candy chocolate.
Love that.
So just your typical Valentine's Day, but we have kind of a busy weekend because we have an event midweek, and then like an event Saturday. Right? Saturday and Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's kind of a lot. And then. Yeah. So busy, busy week, but really fun. And okay. What is your current influence of the week?
Okay. Current influence of the week. Alyssa and I went to an event for the brand that's ruining my life.
I feel like you can't stop talking about
Lola so blankets. And it's so funny because I was literally just talking about this with Josh today before you like reminded me. Like, I just think about this blanket when I leave the house. Like, I'm so serious, is be on my couch with this Lola blanket. It is so worth it. I didn't understand or believe Alyssa when she first started talking about them. Like, seriously, you've been talking about them for so long. Like, you've been talking about nice blankets for a long time, and I just like never understood until I got one. I feel like it's just
kind of like an adult thing. Like, as you get older, it just like one day it clicks. Like, and it's so random, and it's like the same thing with like bed sheets or like comforters or like blankets, like very mundane things, but like it makes a difference.
That just like improves your quality of life. Like, I seriously, Josh is like, maybe you should talk to Chelsea about, like, I'm not joking you, like, I hate running errands, like I hate leaving the house now if I don't have to, because like all I want to do is like be on the with this blanket. I mean, it's honestly not even fully the blanket. I think in general, for some reason, maybe this is also an adult thing, I'm starting to literally loathe the errands and like getting things. And I feel like inspired me and got my head. And he, like, Josh just does not understand. But I think it's specifically like doing returns is literally the worst thing on planet Earth for me for some reason. I just cannot get myself to do it because,
like, what are you returning?
Like, Amazon returns specifically, like, randomly. I feel like we order so many things from Amazon, and then like sometimes they're just like not what I was expecting or whatever. Clothes, the UPS, I don't love. Like,
comes to my house so often, I know what time they're coming, and I stand at my window waiting for them so that when they come, I'm like, can I give you this, and like, as long as it's like labeled and packed and ready to go, like, they'll take it. It's
because, like, sometimes for Amazon you have to take them to like a drop off, and then sometimes for these returns you have to go to like FedEx, and I'm just like, oh my god, this is like the lowest on my priority list right now. And then I don't know, but anyways, yes, Lola blankets, so worth the hype. It's actually crazy to think how expensive a blanket can actually be, but then once you get it, it all makes sense and you have it forever.
Well, and I feel like you're gonna have it for the next 10 plus years.
Yeah.
So, and price, like, per use,
yes,
is basically free. Zero.
It's free. Because also it's like heavy, so it's giving like weighted blanket a little bit. I've never actually felt a weighted blanket, so don't quote me on that. It's just the softest thing ever, and I seriously just don't ever want to be leaving my house now. So shout out Lola. There's other blanket brands out there, but I have only tried Lola.
You know, Josh loves it too. He Josh DM'd loves me it as well.
I'm dead. So, what do you say? Proof.
I don't remember. He's just something about the blanket and how awesome it is.
Oh my god, yeah. Like, Josh like so is also introduced into like the simple luxuries life, I guess. Like
through you.
Yes. And then me through you. And then you just like don't know what you don't know. You know? He tried to buy
you don't know what you're missing until you get the real one.
He like couldn't believe how expensive they were. So he tried to buy a dupe to prove that, like, I don't even know what he was trying to prove. Like, it wasn't worth the price. And then we were quickly humbled. Actually, by we, I mean only he. He was quickly humbled by what he ordered on Amazon because it, like, wasn't even a fraction of the quality. Like, nothing about it compared at all. So, yeah. Simple little luxuries, I guess.
Does Kylo like it? Has he, like...
Yeah, he does. He laid really, on it, he loves it. It, but he will. Kylo is just literally Josh in my head. Like, he'll, like, he still loves the other blankets. At first, he only liked the Lola, and now he's, like, doesn't super care, but he does really like that one. He does lay on it every night. So, yeah. Love, love, love. Okay, what's your influence of the week?
My influence of the week this week is the new photo booth that is at Holy Matcha in San Diego. I feel like those vintage photo booths are going viral right now. Like, there's that one in LA that everyone's always talking about. And I don't think there's any other ones in San Diego. I think this is potentially the first one. So I think it's really cool that she hopped on that and recognized the opportunity and got, and it's so cute, like, the way she branded it. It's called, like, Le Pink Booth.
That's a good
name. So cute, and it, like, matches the store, and it's really fun. So now it's like, when you go to get your matcha, you can take cute photos at the photo booth too.
Is it, like, free with purchase, or do you pay
I think it's like $6 or like $6.50.
okay.
And you get, like, the four photos, and it's two strips. So
cute.
I feel like it's not bad.
Yeah, I feel like this is the new thing. In Florence, randomly, there's, like, random food photo booths on the street corners, and, like, people are obsessed with them.
Cute.
Yeah, I feel like photo booths are, like, coming back, so that's really cute.
I feel like it's just such a fun activity, and
yeah,
just adds joy to your life. I don't know how to explain it. But yeah, it's just really, really cool. Cute.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's such a good idea and, like, such a great business opportunity that she did, because there's not one in San Diego. So super smart, and just, like, the branding of it and everything. I don't know. I love it. It's just so cute. So yeah, that's my influence of the week. Okay, now let's dive into some fun things this week. Our Valentine's Day this or that. I love these so much. Okay. First one is, we're going to start off very simple. First one is pink or red?
Red. Pink. Okay. Pink. Yours is like burgundy.
Mine's like dark red.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Great icebreaker. Okay. Next one is gifts or experiences.
Like, okay, Josh and, like, I are an experienced couple.
Yeah.
But I don't,
but, like, specifically for Valentine's
Day. Oh, okay. Day. Okay. For Valentine's Day.
Like, related. On,
for gifts for Valentine's Day.
Yeah. Okay. Same. I feel like gift giving / receiving is, like, my love language. Mm-hmm. So anything where there's an opportunity for me to receive a gift, I will take it.
I love that. Did you request a gift this year? Alyssa's really good at, like, knowing exactly what she wants for a gift.
No, I, like, bundled in those vintage Chanel earrings from Aspen as my anniversary / Valentine's Day gift,
and also the necklace you bought today.
Oh, and the necklace I got today that I made at the Swirl event. It's really cute. It's like this cute little cross pendant with a little S initial pendant too. So
cute.
But he doesn't know he got me that. Yeah. You know, actually, he did tell me he listens to our podcast sometimes, and I was like, screaming. Oh.
He's like,
so maybe he'll hear this. I don't know.
Oh my god, babe, I didn't know that I got you so many gifts all the time.
But yeah, definitely gifts. Like, love a good experience, but, like, I just, like, and I get experiences are fun and, like, memories forever, but, like, I just feel like gifts you can see. I don't know. I just, you guys know this. I attach memories to physical to items. Things. And then I have that memory. So that's just how I feel like I process my memories. Mm-hmm. Okay, next one is comfies and staying in or dressing up and going out.
Okay, for Valentine's Day with, for yes. Valentine's Day, dressing up. For Valentine's Day, staying in, I feel like, for me. Like, I honestly, I love the little tradition of just, like, being cozy on the actual Valentine's Day.
Cute.
And avoiding the crowds. What about you?
I feel like I'm, like, flipped. So, like, Galentine's, it's, like, fun to dress up, but it's also fun to be, like, in your cute pajamas.
I know.
As it's well, but fun. I think for Valentine's Day, like, I think dressing up. I think it's fun.
Yeah.
Okay, next one. Restaurant or home-cooked meal on Valentine's Day?
Well, we did just say what we were doing, so mine is home-cooked and... with the emphasis of, like, right now, because we're having so much fun. I've mentioned this before. I was, like, vegan vegetarian for 10 years. And we were just having, like, so much fun cooking things. So definitely home cooked.
I know. I never, like, understood how you guys would just cook different meals, like, every day, like, at your meal. Like, you were never eating the same thing.
Never, ever did. It's, like, really crazy to look
back. But, like, that was, like, your normal.
That was so... we never knew anything different, yeah. And now I literally feel guilt about it. Because I'm like, Josh, what the heck were you eating? Like, seriously, what were you eating? Like, I feel so bad.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Now you guys have all this fun. Yeah,
now it's, like, we can appreciate it more.
Yeah. I feel like for me, if we actually could get a reservation on Valentine's Day, like, I would go. Like, I like going out, getting dressed up, going to a restaurant.
Now you can unfortunately, set your reminders.
The restaurant was just booked. I know. For this year. I was like, can we book it a year in advance for next year? Like, how early do you take reservations? You actually should ask.
Because they probably would.
Like, I know for my birthday during the holidays, I book it like 2 months out. And it's, like, pretty booked by then, too. Like, dang. It is crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, you might as well just do that.
Yeah, I'll check when I go. Okay, next one is, do you like to do your favorite things or do you like to try new things?
I would say...
what are we talking about?
Like, do you like to... I got this from an Etsy template, you guys.
Like, okay,
it was talking about this one. I made it more broad, like favorite. It was like favorite date or try or like doing a completely new experience.
Okay, it's like an experience,
yeah,
or
like or it's like trying a new food or making your favorite foods, like that sort of thing.
Got it. Okay,
but it does sound really weird now that we say that out loud. I would say our favorites over new things.
I feel like same for me. I feel like once I do something and I like it, I don't like to really explore new things. So I'm like, okay, it's taking time to get here. Like, we have like on a menu, like anytime we go out to eat, like I feel like I order the same things.
I know. It's so, like, you just like,
it's like so hard to try new things. Yeah. Yes. And you're always like, next time.
That's literally me with Mendocino Farms.
And then I never do.
Okay, I've never tried anything else on that menu. I love the salad so much, but I'm like, next time.
Yeah, you're like, oh, that looks so good. Next time I'll try that. And then
you never do. Yeah,
I feel it. Just stick the same things. Mm-hmm. Okay, next one is chocolate or candy?
I am chocolate every time. Like, I'm always sweet over sour. I don't really like candy, honestly. I love chocolate. What about you?
Yeah, this is a hard one for me.
Yeah, you like
both. I think
both.
For Valentine's Day specifically, chocolate.
Yeah.
Because, like, when you go to C's, you can get a box and you can, like, customize it and pick all your favorite little chocolates. And I just love that. Yeah, I love chocolate too, so And C's has really good dark chocolate options. Like, they have so much variety in dark chocolate, and that makes me happy. So,
oh my god, speaking of which, okay, I have to show you this. Josh made me this. It came with his Lego. I'm
screaming.
This was on my desk. You guys, I'm showing her a Lego. Oh, isn't that so funny? He made
that for you?
Yes.
It's like a Lego chocolate.
Josh is obsessed with Lego, you guys. Like, literally, he spends all his money on Lego. I'm just, like, where does he get that? Not all money, but, like, these come with, like, so he made me this heart chocolate box. You need to
make a TikTok on that. Okay, I'm going to.
It's, like, so cute, and it literally looks like a little C's chocolate box out of Lego.
Little chocolates in there, but they're Legos.
Yeah. He loves Lego. It's so funny. I honestly, I should show his room. His office, you guys, like, is covered in Legos. It's so funny.
You guys, every time we go to Europe for 3.5 weeks or however long we go for, he goes and, like, buys himself, he like, splurges. A really nice Lego kit. To do,
like, and while we're gone, they're like getting up to $1,000. There's a new one coming out this year that's $1,000.
What is it?
The new Millennium Falcon. I think that's how you say it. Yeah, I'm like, are you gonna get that? And he's like,
how big is it? Is it life size?
Probably. It's like humongous. Like, it's probably like, I can't even show on the screen.
He could start a Legoland at your house.
I know, he really could. I'm like, you need to, like, do something. Like, I can't conceptualize how he doesn't make content with his, like, the things that he does. Because, I don't know. Like, there's just so many
things. Wait, so, like, once he builds something, he never unbuilds it? So, like, you don't do these things again and again?
I'm like, isn't it going to be fun if you, like, take it apart? But he says, no, that's, like, not what you do. Like, it's like a collector's thing. I don't know.
So you get these things and then you build it and then you just, like, leave it.
Yeah. Today.
Is it like he was like, in his office?
I was thinking about taking some Lego apart and maybe rebuilding it. Yeah, it's like decor. That's boy decor for you.
That is very funny. So funny.
Yeah, maybe I'll put a pickup. He's a very wholesome boy.
At least share your
the heart Lego chocolates. Heart box. Okay, I will.
Okay, you have to make a TikTok on it. I'm going to show you. I'll send you one that went viral for someone, and you just have to do the same thing.
Okay. Yes, send it
and
to
it'll
me.
Go viral. I'm feeling it because that is
it's really cute. Like, how you know your boyfriend or your husband doesn't cheat on you, and then it's just that.
Yeah, literally. So cute. Okay. Movie night or game night?
I like always love a game night, honestly. I think they're so fun.
On Valentine's Day?
On Valentine's Day? Are you
playing games on Valentine's Day?
Okay, movie night. Yeah.
Yeah, I think same. Like, just so cozy to be under your Lola blanket.
I know.
Watching a movie with popcorn and your puppies. Yes.
True.
Okay, last one is for your movie night, rom-com or action movie?
Rom-com always.
Yeah, same. Every other time, like, action, but, like, rom-com. Oh wait, I missed one. There's actually one more after this. Okay. Planned or spontaneous?
In previous years, it would have been spontaneous because we used to, like, not make reservations ever. And then...
Oh, my God, I know.
But now, I feel like, though, as a society as a whole, we have moved into, like, you literally have to make reservations. But I feel like it wasn't always that way. I don't know. But so now it's planned. But it definitely used to be spontaneous. I feel like yours have always been planned.
Always planned. Yeah, because I'm just like, I don't want to risk not being able to get in at the place I want to get into, or risk, like, having to wait 2 hours when it's already 6-7 o'clock. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, I would rather just make the reservation, know that I have my spot, show up, and have a good time.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Sorry
that
for that.
That was our intro for the episode.
Huge intro, but happy Valentine's Day week.
Oh, yeah. We love you guys. We're grateful for you guys, mm-hmm. whether you're single, in a relationship, doing your thing, just know that you are loved, you are valuable, mm-hmm. and you're special. So,
yeah.
We love you guys.
We love you.
Okay, so this week's episode is about 10 non-negotiables of being a content creator. Of course, these are kind of our rules for ourselves. This is not like, we're not forcing this on anyone. This is like our opinion, mm-hmm. and kind of things that we feel like we either talk about a lot or and things that we just apply to our business all the time and things that we find ourselves always coming back to. So we figured putting these all together into an episode could be really beneficial. So hopefully this can help you guys, whether you're just starting out or maybe you're wanting to dive deeper into your business and just how to improve. These are things that no matter what the situation is, I feel like we will always stand by these, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. So we'll just dive into it. So the first one is, and these are just not in any particular order either. Mm-hmm. These are just 10. So the first one is speaking up on contracts. I feel like we talk about this so much and just have had so much contract experience over the years, mm-hmm. that like we know what to look for, what to watch out for, what to not agree to, what to ask questions about. And I just feel like being able to understand your contracts is very, very important. And you guys have heard us say this before, but no perpetual usage. Mm-hmm. I feel like the industry has gotten so much better about this.
Yeah.
Like it's definitely...
It's come to a point, thank God, that it's like honestly really rare and jarring to see that in contracts, yeah. but it's definitely still there. I feel like smaller brands that don't like know better, mm-hmm. usually have this, and then the bigger brands like absolutely know better than to put perpetual. And it's usually, I love when I see organic only, mm-hmm. in these contracts. I feel like that's like the number one thing I'm always saying too, is like, or like making sure that it's clarified to organic. Like I'm always making that change on contracts, because if they don't specify, I just feel like the lines are blurred between paid and organic usage, meaning the brands, mm-hmm. can use that for paid ads, your content.
Yeah. And I feel like the only place also that you'll really see perpetual is on, like, I don't know what you would call them, but just the platforms, like the generic platforms, yeah. like Grin, for, mm-hmm. example. Like if a brand is running a gifted campaign or even a paid campaign through Grin, mm-hmm. that's always in there too. So if it is a paid campaign, definitely ask questions on that. I feel like for gifting, because you don't technically have specific deliverables, they're probably not going to use your content. But obviously, you never know. It's just the thing with that is I feel like brands aren't going to take it out when it's a very generic gifting casual campaign, unfortunately. Yeah. And I feel like it's probably okay to accept those terms. Just don't be out there trying to create your best content ever, if that makes sense.
Yeah, like, it's like, I don't know. I feel like sometimes it's hard when you have like a campaign that you're super excited about with a brand that you absolutely love. It's like a dream partnership, and then you're scared to speak up. Just know that like this is industry standard, and just because you speak up, mm-hmm. on something on the contract doesn't mean they're just going to be like, oh, whoa, just kidding, we don't want to work with you. Like it really just shows like, oh, this girl knows her shit and she means business. So,
yeah, and I feel like if you're with a management company, they're saying that to the brand, mm-hmm. period. So it's like, it shouldn't be different if a management company is saying it versus you as the creator directly. Mm-hmm. Like it's all the same. And the more confident you approach it, I think the brand respects it more. So just when you are bringing it up and mentioning it, make sure you are confident in what you are saying and not being like, well, I just don't know if like these terms are okay. Mm-hmm. Like, is there any way you can remove you know what I mean? Like, be like, hi, just reviewed the contract. Looks like you guys have a section that mentions perpetual rights. Can we get that removed? I typically do 30 to 60 days of organic usage for my partnerships. Mm-hmm. Just like speaking with confidence and experience, I feel like brands are going to be like, oh yeah, like let's talk about that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So definitely no perpetual usage. I feel like we've been preaching that forever and ever, and it's just something we absolutely avoid.
Yeah, and also making sure you're charging an extra fee for paid usage.
Yes.
And not giving that away for free.
Yeah, so that's on top of your rate. Mm-hmm. So if you are quoting a brand because they've reached out to you and asked for your rates, you have your posting rate, and then you have the additional rate that you charge for usage. And I feel like it's super helpful to break that out in the email when you are telling brands so that they understand where the rate is coming from. Because sometimes if it's a longer partnership, like 6 months to a year, the usage might be more than the rate. But if the brand doesn't see that or kind of understand the breakdown, then they might not agree with it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, just being very aware now, it is very, again, also very normal and standard to be charging for paid usage. Any type of paid ads, whitelisting, anything. Newsletters, email, website, anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. So that's contracts. The next thing is quality over quantity with content. So, again, I feel like all of these are things we have talked about and preached.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Just wanted to put it all basically in an episode. But in terms of quality, just making sure that you're not forcing things, and say you're out creating content and it's not, the lighting's not good, or it's like a weird day and the sun is reflecting weird, or there's shadows, or if you're just not feeling it and you're not in the mood, instead of forcing it, just save your energy, call it a day, and redo it a different day.
Yeah, I feel like it kind of has taken practice for this to become a non-negotiable, because I feel like my mindset used to be, oh my gosh, like I spent all this time on this content, like I have to post it, whether, like, regardless if I liked it or not in the beginning. Mm-hmm. But now I feel like I'm so picky now, because I feel like I have a pulse on what my audience will and won't like. And so I'm always going to prioritize quality, even if it takes me like double the amount of time over quantity. And I feel like having that mindset is super, super helpful.
Well, and I feel like too, if you don't force the content in the first place, then you're not putting yourself in that situation. Because I'm also the same way, where I'm like, oh my gosh, I spent time shooting this. I spent time planning for it. I have to post it. Otherwise, that is just a complete waste of time, waste of content, waste of energy, resources, etc. And so if you don't force yourself in the first place, then you don't find yourself in that position to feel that way about the content. So sometimes we'll be shooting content and like, maybe you tried on an outfit at home, you have it all planned, accessories, everything. You get to location, you start shooting, and you look at the photos, and it's just like not hitting how you had envisioned it. Or just like the outfit's not sitting right, or the background's not doing what you wanted it to do, or you're just maybe not feeling it that day. Like now I feel like my mindset is I would rather scratch that and save it for a different time when I know I could do it better than force through and push through it to get the content.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, and yeah, like you said, it was very much like a learned thing. It wasn't natural, and it was like definitely something you had to practice, because I would always like, while I shot this content, like I have to use it. Like I don't want content to go to waste, basically. So
yeah,
I sometimes feel like I still find myself thinking like that, and I have to like snap out of it and be like, no, like it's okay. Reshoot it. And like usually when I do reshoot something, I feel so much better. I love it so much more, and I'm way more excited to post it.
Yes. Agree.
So yeah. And I feel like your audience can tell too.
Mm-hmm.
So
like especially with like quality and lighting, that stuff is so important. It's like the little things that really make a huge difference.
Yeah, and I think, too, because we prioritize that so much in our content, we get a lot of people that ask, oh, like, what are you shooting on? Is this your iPhone? And I'm like, yeah, and people are just shocked at the quality. But I think it just comes down to, like, being very specific when you are shooting, how it looks, and, like, filming in certain lighting or taking photos in certain lighting. Like, it all really matters, and it does affect how the content comes out. So those are just things to think about when you're shooting, and it's just your reminder too that not everything always works out perfectly all the time. Like we definitely have our bad days. We definitely have days where content just isn't flowing like it normally does, and it's okay to feel that way. And it's, even if you stop, like that's not giving up. You're not a failure. It's totally okay to just take a step back, take a breather, and like redo it a different day.
Yeah.
So that's, I think, super important. The next one is following up on emails. I think a lot of people get nervous to do this. And I think if you really want to be successful in this industry, you have to feel comfortable following up on emails, because I feel like it's just that saying, if you are not doing it, someone else is.
Yeah, so I agree. I feel like these brands, if you can imagine how many people are emailing them in a day, pitching them, following up on things, like if you don't follow up, someone else will. And I also feel like it shows that you really want it and care about the partnership or whatever you're emailing about. So, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it's not like you're just sending out a mass email to 20 brands and then you never follow up because they were just pretty generic. Like, if you keep following up, it keeps you top of mind with the brand. Again, like, there's so much going on, I feel like, with PR people. Like, they're so busy. Their inboxes are so crazy. So, it's like, maybe they opened your email and then had to jump on a meeting really fast and then, you know, forgot about the email because it was already read and opened. And then by the time they come back to their email, they have like 50 new emails. So it's already been pushed down, and it had nothing to do with you. It's just kind of like timing and situation. So yeah, it doesn't hurt, and you're not annoying. Very standard. Yeah. Definitely give it a couple days in between, because again, everyone's busy. So, you know, waiting, I feel like 3 days or so in between, and 3 to 5 days.
You can even just send like a kindly following up on this as the follow up. Yeah. It doesn't have to be anything crazy or much more than that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like I talk about this all the time, but I have the plugin on Gmail, and people still DM me and ask me what it's called. It's just called Streak. I think it's a sales funnel kind of plugin, but I honestly just use it. And I know there's some brands that use, I think there's one called Mail Tracker or something.
Yes, it has like the green
little check marks at the bottom of an email. Like brands use it too. Like it's a very like common thing in emailing, I feel like. And with Streak, you can see when someone's opened it, so you know when to follow up. And then like Danielle said, you just send like, I just wanted to bump this to the top of your inbox, or just following up, like if they have read it. And then if they haven't read it, then you can maybe try finding a different contact, because maybe that email doesn't exist anymore or something, or they just don't check that one if it's a generic one. So yeah, but it's very standard. And I think honestly, like that will determine those who are successful and who get a lot of campaigns versus those who don't. Mm-hmm. I think it's truly one of the most important things you can do for your business and just like in business is just following up, staying connected, staying top of mind, and then that leading to potential partnerships. Mm-hmm. So, okay, next one is, let's see, number four. Mental health and protecting your peace over everything. This is definitely another learned thing that you have to go through, because I feel like if you guys have been here with us since the beginning, like we used to be very like hustle, go hard, attend every single thing, just like do the absolute most. And now we've definitely kind of switched that. And I think that comes with like getting older.
And also and just like getting to the place we did get to even.
You know? Because of what we did. Yeah. You know? So we kind of like have done our time. We put in the work, put in the networking, put in the events, the FaceTime. And now we've gotten ourselves to a place relationship wise where we cannot go to the event and still be okay and still like reach out to contacts and check in and all that.
Yeah, this was something I feel like I learned a lot of this year. For some reason, I learned a lot about burnout this year, really, or this past year, I mean. So I have been thinking about it so much recently. But yeah, this, like you said, definitely something that's learned. And I feel like I'm actually in a place where I'm just like so appreciative of the peace that I do feel now. And I think a big thing I learned this year was your mental health is so much more important than all the money in the world. Like the money that you, I don't know, it, you kind of just have to learn what's your priority, what your priorities are in this industry. And they change, honestly, like within a few months, within the years, like whatever. But I don't know. Yeah, it's something you were always learning.
I also think, too, like a couple years ago, like hustle culture was trendy, if you want to say, if that makes sense. Like that was just the thing. Everyone was now doing it's like it. Everyone soft, was hustling.
Soft, feminine, exactly. Girly living.
And now it's kind funny. Of switched. And now people prioritize different things. But I think it's cool as humans that we evolve and can make these decisions. And maybe if you are just starting out in your career, you are in that hustle era. And there's literally nothing wrong with that. As long as you know that your mental health is in a good place and you are protecting your peace. Like I remember years, like a couple years ago, I would go to LA 2 to 3 times a week and be thriving. So much fun. Loved it. Loved seeing like all my friends, going to all the events, meeting all the contacts, getting all the gifting, like time of my life. Now I am like, okay, I'm going once this week. How am I getting the most out of my one visit and being the most productive that I can so that the trip is worth it? But I'm also like not forcing it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I was honestly thinking about that recently, and I really feel like the shift in that was the rise of video content and how much time that takes. And I feel like back in the day when we were going like 3 times a week, like I just feel like shooting photos and photo content being like the peak at its peak, like it was just so much easier than like recording videos. And like video content is so important for growth and just social media in general now. And I just feel like it's funny because just like no one, like the people that we used to see at events, like we don't see anymore. It's just interesting.
Yeah. And I think so many factors go to play at that, and like people's decisions to go and not go. But it's like, just feel it like is it definitely felt like very more interesting. Time. Just. I know. That's why I'm saying, like, I just had all this energy, like, would go so much, do all the things, but and maybe that just comes with growth and where we're at in our careers now versus when we were starting out and, you know, really building ourselves up. So either way, no matter what stage you're at or mm-hmm. part of the process, just at the end of the day, protecting your peace and like not feeling bad that if you're feeling exhausted or overwhelmed, like missing one event isn't going to make or break your career. It's truly not. Mm-hmm. Like, if something is meant to be, it will be and it will happen. And if you are meant to meet a certain person who's going to make a connection for you somewhere, like, you will meet that person. Like, there is just, I feel like we used to have almost that scarcity mindset of, like, we have to go to that event. Like, mm-hmm. we have to, like, talk to the brand there. Otherwise, we're never going to work with them. And that, we literally would go to like literally this one brand's events because we would want to work with them. And newsflash, we never did. They never offered us partnerships. And it's like, if a brand wants to work with you, they will reach out to you. Like, if you don't go to their event, like, they understand, like, people are busy, people have things to do. Like, it is not make or break. And like, there was a certain point where we thought it was.
Yeah.
So...
yeah.
So that's like a good learning experience for sure. So, okay. I feel like that's good on that one. The fifth one is prioritizing consistency. I feel like if you want to be successful, this is truly what it comes down to. And again, consistency can look different to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
It's just figuring out what consistency is to you and then sticking with that. And I think just being consistent and showing up regularly will give you so much more success that way. And I feel like when I talk to a lot of girls through like my mentorship program that I do sometimes, a lot of people, when we really get down to it, is the lack of consistency. So I think when you like talk it out and kind of realize it, the girls are like, oh yeah, like I need to be more consistent. But you maybe think you're being consistent when you're not, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I feel like consistency has like the ideas shifted for me like what exactly I'm being consistent with. Like, I feel like it used to be for me every single day, no matter what, I'm posting Josh just got home and the garage is literally so loud. Okay, consistency has like shifted for me right now. Like right now, I really like doing like at least 5 posts and at least 5 reels a week. And so that's my form of consistency. And I'm not, if I have to miss a day, I'm going to be okay because I know I'm going to post it the next day, or like I know I'm going to have 5. Like, I just like having at least 5 posts, 5 reels. Like, that's now what my consistency looks like. Mm-hmm. So you can always change your consistency and what your post schedule is. So just a little PSA, but just still having that consistency there is really important, because I just feel like taking multiple days or weeks off, I think it really does confuse the algorithm, but also your audience. I just want to be someone that like my audience knows they can rely on, and if they search my name because they haven't seen my posts in a few days, like I'm gonna have posts there, I'm still active, like that mm-hmm. sort of thing.
Yeah, I think too, like, consistency is also the hardest part mm-hmm. as well.
Yeah,
like
absolutely.
Showing up, and like that's like the what do you call it, like the barrier to entry.
Mm-hmm.
Like those who are taking it seriously, who really want to do it, who really want to make something of it, I think consistency, and I feel like it sounds annoying to just keep saying it, but like that's what like the breakdown is. Because yeah, like you said, the algorithm, like I think the algorithm has gotten so specific over the years, whereas like it used to like not matter. Like you mm-hmm. could post whenever, not be consistent, random days, not post random days, and like it wouldn't really matter. But now I feel like the algorithm is obviously getting more advanced, and your audience also kind of learns your patterns. So just showing up consistently and, like you said, being a resource, or just mm-hmm. being there and your audience knowing that they can find you even if they don't see your post, like they know you're still showing up basically. So
yeah,
yeah,
I also saw
that's
I saw this video on TikTok last night, how this girl was talking about how, like, also you just have to push through with your consistency, even if it feels like no one's watching and your content's not being shown to anyone. Yes. And
okay, good point.
So many people in the comments were like, this is literally what made me stop posting because it's embarrassing. And I like genuinely feel embarrassed because I feel like no one is seeing it. And then I'm just talking to no one. And I totally get that. And I totally understand that. But like, you have to understand that everyone started there at one point. Like, oh my God, I have this video saved that was, it was like a slideshow of all the stats of what people did to get to where they are. Like, I think it was Mr. Beast, how he's like, I don't even know who this person is, but I know he's like the top, isn't he like the number one streamer or creator? I don't know what he is. Yeah. He's something huge. But it was a stat where it said like he posted like the first like 500 videos like got no views, but he kept posting and like it grew obviously. So just if you can get over that mindset, that is like what you said, it's truly the barrier to entry because that is literally what stops everyone from posting.
Yeah, I also saw another TikTok video where it was like, oh, your post reached 50 people. And then the next slide like showed an image of what a room of 50 people looks like.
I saw
and
that it's actually one too. A lot. Yes.
And then it's like, oh, your post reached 500 people. And then it shows a room like what 500 people looks like. And then it does like 5,000 and it just keeps growing. And it just shows you that like if those that amount of people was actually in a room, like that's actually crazy.
Yes.
And that's a lot of people. And so I feel like that was also a good reminder too. But at the end of the day, it's like just make sure you love your content enough, whether one person sees it or a million people see it. Like if you can make a difference in one person's life, I feel like the post has done its job.
Yeah. Like you're and creating like, what you're supposed to.
Yeah. And like, obviously through the low periods, we've kind of talked about this, but right now I feel like our last episode with all of the Instagram changes going on, whenever we see a bunch of changes, I feel like the algorithm gets a little wacky, like post reach is like pretty low, like, and it can be very frustrating and you're like, what's the point? No one's seeing this. But I think flipping the mindset and being like, okay, obviously this is unfortunate, but this is out of my control and I can't control it. So I'm just grateful that the 5,000 people that did see it, like grateful for those, you know, 5,000 views basically. Because if you think about it, that many people in a room is a lot of people.
Yeah.
So just kind of flipping your mindset on that and just knowing that this is a roller coaster. We talk about this, like it's always up and down and up and down and it goes down, but it always comes back up. So you just have to stick with it and get through it, and it's always gonna come back up and get better. So yeah, that's on consistency. And then number six is kind of related, but authenticity always, like, just a reminder, and we've all done this, but not doing a brand deal that doesn't align with you just because it's your first paid deal ever or it's your highest paid deal today. Like, truly staying true to your authenticity and keeping your audience's trust is just so much more important than taking that one-off brand deal for whatever it is. And if it doesn't align, it'll just confuse your audience. You'll probably lose some sort of trust with them. And then I feel like you kind of feel weird within yourself. So yeah, and just like not sharing things, like, for example, just not sharing things you don't actually use. Like, I feel like if we're promoting a product, it's something that we've used before, that we like, that it's like, it's not just like a random product, I guess.
Yeah, you're always in your highest vibration when you are being your like your truest self. So stay in that high vibration.
And yeah, just if it doesn't feel right, trust your gut. I feel like your gut is really good at leading you. And if it's not part of your personal brand, then that's okay. When one door shuts, another door opens. It's not going to be your last opportunity ever. You know, a better opportunity, a more fitting opportunity is going to come, but you have to close that door for the next door to open. And I feel like that's just a good way to think about it if you are struggling with that. So next one is number 7, just community over trying to get the largest following ever. I think we've kind of transitioned into brands really valuing creators with dedicated communities or just very engaged audiences. I think you just at the end of the day see a better ROI with things, and it's just a good reminder that slow growth isn't a bad thing, and it's better to have 20,000 really engaged followers than 200,000 or 2 million followers that don't really care about your content or you, or I don't know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. Fostering your relationship with your community instead of always trying to reach new ones, or kind of like ignoring what you do have already.
Yeah. Yeah. Or like trying to go viral all the time. I feel like with virality, it's honestly kind of risky.
Yeah, it's and really like not always
unpredictable. And so it's not, it depends like what you're posting that's going viral. But if it goes viral in the wrong audience or demographic for whatever reason, that can actually just kind of hurt your audience.
Yeah.
And your growth. Like in terms like of your demographic.
We had a friend and it was like a bikini reel. Like it wasn't anything that was meant for men.
No.
But for some reason her in a bikini reached only men, and she was only getting men from this viral reel. And so like obviously in that case, like with our industry, that's not beneficial for us to have like a huge male following, even if it means your following is going up. Because brands want, brands know that like women are who are buying the products. So
yeah. So then it's very unfortunate when that happens, because then you have to sit there and delete a bunch of followers that you don't want, that don't help build your community. It's not your target audience. So yeah, I think for me personally, like I would rather grow slowly and like intently than like go viral and gain like a mass following overnight, basically. Because I feel like too, what you see a lot is people who gain like a mass following have a hard time retaining it over time because they probably followed you for something very, very specific. And then if you kind of change that, then you'll kind of start to lose, or they'll be a little more inactive, and then that will kind of affect your engagement. So just remember that too. If you are a smaller account, if you grow slowly, like if you're not going viral, it's okay. And in my opinion, that's honestly what I prefer. I'd rather just be consistent and like good with my audience than go viral into the unknown. I don't know. So yeah, just something to keep in mind and just remember, because I feel like a lot of people will post how they've been doing Instagram for so long and like they haven't grown in X amount of years. And then it's just like, there are creators with 20K, 30K who make really, really good money because they have such high quality content. They do really well with UGC. They have a really good engaged audience and a really personal connection with brands. And I feel like that's better than like a million followers and like no connection to your audience, like nothing. So I feel like that's just a good reminder no matter where you're at in your journey. Okay, next one, number 8, we're almost done, is diversifying. So I feel like we love this word.
Yeah, like diversifying pretty much everything. Like we did an episode on this when the TikTok ban almost happened. So diversifying the platforms you're on, not putting your eggs in one basket, and also diversifying your streams of income, and always making sure, like what I just said, like not 90% of your income's not coming from just one single thing, even though that's like really easy to do and like to get comfortable with. And it might take you some time, but I feel like it's always a good thing to keep in the back of your head. I feel like Alyssa actually does a really good job with this. Like, you have a lot of different things that you do, different streams of income.
Yeah, sometimes it's kind of hard to keep up with everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it definitely makes me feel more comfortable. And yeah. I feel like I don't like doing the same thing all the time. So just having different options that lets me kind of explore, I really like. Mm-hmm. And then I feel like each thing is kind of like a different type of creativity for me as well.
Yeah, totally.
Like a different creative outlet.
Like, so. It's super fun, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah, so businesses, products, presets, books, honestly.
Affiliate. Anything.
Yeah. True. Affiliate.
UGC.
Mm-hmm. We actually have like a whole episode there's like on this if you guys want a so whole many deep dive. Like, we literally go into every single stream of income like that you can have in this industry. I'm sure there's more.
I feel like that one's a really good episode.
We like
too.
Really dive in. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Number 9 is removing comparison. So just truly keeping your blinders on. And I know it's so hard because we want to compare ourselves all the time to similar creators to ourselves, maybe our friends, like mm-hmm. just anyone in our industry. Like, oh, why did she get that brand deal? Or why did that brand want to work with her and not me? Or why did she get invited on that brand trip and I didn't? Mm-hmm. Like, it's just so easy to compare ourselves in this industry. So I think the best thing you can do is truly just keep your blinders on, focus on your business, and just really take someone else's success as a sign that you can do it too. It's not that they're taking the opportunity from you. It's showing you that you can also mm-hmm. get that opportunity. So,
yeah, I feel like doing this, like removing comparison, putting your blinders on, it also helps a lot with burnout and getting discouraged to create more content. I feel like it's so easy to compare yourself on social mm-hmm. media. And if I fall into this, like, I usually snap out of it within seconds because I'm seasoned now. But if I didn't, I can recognize mm-hmm. how damaging that would be. Like, I also, obviously, with the help of therapy, like, it helps me to snap out of it more. But if I didn't have that, like, I feel like I would have stopped a long time ago. It's just so easy and so discouraging. So comparison is the thief of joy and the thief of truly continuing in this industry.
Yeah. And I feel like it can go with engagement as well. As like, sometimes I find myself yeah, totally. Falling into that trap where it's like, I'll post a certain type of content, for example, like snow content, whatever, and like be posting very similar things that I see on my explore feed. And then on the explore feed, these photos have like 10, 20,000 likes. And then my photo like doesn't do very well. And it's like, it's super easy to fall into being like, well, why isn't my content doing well? Like, mm-hmm. and just comparing yourself to other people's content and whatever. So yeah, being able to kind of just snap out of that. Realizing you love your content that you made and that, you know, you put out what you're loving, and like that's really what you can control as long as you're engaging with your audience, responding to comments, you know, being yeah. active, and that's truly all you can do. So that's mm-hmm. I feel like everyone experiences this.
Yeah, it's, everyone.
No matter how long you've been in it, no matter how many followers you have, like it's something that's kind of always there that you, I feel like, are always just like on the defense, like always mm-hmm. like defending and just like keeping those intrusive truly. Thoughts out. And if you feel like they're coming in, like really shutting it down hard. And just, I think another easy way to go about this is practicing gratitude mm-hmm. and just being grateful for where you're at, like your career, how far you've come, the opportunities you've had, the brands you work with, the gifting you get, like how truly blessed we are that this is our job. And I feel like that can really help with the comparison. And you can have bad days, you can have off days, and you can admit, like, today is not my day. I'm feeling so down. I'm not going to go on social media today because that's not going to help my mental health, which we are protecting in number 4. So just really taking that stance and doing what you need to do. But yeah, I feel like you said, like, comparison is another thing that could, like, not help you be successful in the industry. If you're always comparing and feeling down on yourself, or like feeling you always have to do better or be better or whatever, because, like, obviously social media is a highlight reel. We all know that, but we sometimes forget that when we're scrolling. And yeah, so just remember, at the end of the day, keep your blinders on, stay in your lane, do your thing. Your audience follows you for a reason, because they love you. So just keep being you. And I feel like that kind of leads into number 10, our last one, which is just staying true to your personal brand. I feel like that's one of the best things you can do.
Yeah. And I also feel like, from a business perspective, this is very, very smart. Having, like, a personal brand, I feel like I make decisions and business decisions based on how it fits with my personal brand and how my brand is seen by my audience and on social media. And it is very true to my own brand, but I feel like it's almost like building your own persona and doing things to make sure you're, like, really enhancing your personal brand, and how people see you is so important for growth, for collaboration opportunities. I don't know. I feel like it's, like, really how I make my decisions on what I do with social media. So if you guys, side note, haven't, like, really thought about, like, what your personal brand is yet, you should really, like, do some brainstorming, because I feel like this is a huge thing with growing and building your audience and your business.
Yeah. Yeah, and I feel like, too, it's what your audience gets to know you for. And so it's like they know what to expect from you. So, like, for me, if someone doesn't really like a colorful wardrobe and they like to follow me because I wear mostly neutrals, and then one day if I all of a sudden posted bright green, it might be like, it's confusing. What is going on? So then it's like, it's kind of like shock factor. But then subconsciously, like, people are going to be like, oh, well, I don't really relate to that, or that's not why I followed her. So I'm not, I don't know if I'm, like, going to continue to be interested, which is fine if you want to go that route. But in terms of, like, defining your personal brand, I think, too, from a marketing perspective, if you think of yourself as, like, an actual brand in marketing, I feel like we see this on social media all the time. Brands that have amazing marketing are so successful, and they do well even if they have a pretty simple product. But if their marketing and their social presence is, like, just stunning and on point, it still does well regardless. So I feel like just knowing your personal brand, sitting down and maybe just asking questions to yourself, like, what does my audience know me for? Like, what are some of my pillars? Like, what are, if someone was searching social media and they were going to find my account, what would they be searching for? You could also put a question box on your stories and ask people, like, what they associate you with, and just kind of see what people say if, like, certain keywords keep being repeated. But yeah, there's a lot of ways you can do it. But I feel like personal branding and just branding in general is, I feel like it could be that thing that kind of takes you to the next level, the next step. And I feel like even brands are comfortable with people who have a personal brand, because they know exactly what kind of content they're going to get from you. Because, like, you have just a certain style and they like that style, which is why they want to work with you in the first place.
Yeah. So. And, like, you're not just following the trends and, like, what's popular and, like, kind of just, like, copying what's really trending. Like, you stick to your brand, and people, I don't know, I feel like that really sets you apart. And I really appreciate when people stick to their own brands, like, so hardcore. So
yeah, Like, I remember, I don't think it was last year. I think it was the year before that. But when the color of the year was literally, like, bright pink, like that Valentino hot pink, I feel like, yes, that's the color of the year. But for my personal brand, like, I'm not going to post that color because that's not part of my personal brand. So staying true to yourself and just staying, again, consistent, I think will really give you good results long term and just like really establish you, you know, as your personal brand, and like your audience knows what to expect, brands know what to expect. And again, people are going to follow because they love you and your content and what you're already posting. So
yeah,
I think that's also another thing that we've learned along the way after much, much experimenting and trying things along the way. We've kind of found our path, what our thing is, like what we're known for, what we love to post, the type of content we love to create. I feel like it just helps you run your business better because you literally make decisions based on your personal brand. Like, you're not going to work with a certain brand or accept a collaboration if it doesn't align with your personal brand. And it's so much easier to say no when you know who you are and you know what your brand is versus if you don't really know the vibes, then you like, is this going to work for me? Is this not going to work for me? So I feel like establishing and staying true to your personal brand is very, very important. So yeah, that is our 10 non-negotiables of being a content creator and just things that we will truly stick with and stick to in our business, and things that are just literally a non-negotiable. Like, we do these things every day, basically. Yeah. So yeah. And do you want to share our listeners of the week this week?
Yes. Our listeners of the week are the girlies from our previous girls trips. They're at New York Fashion Week right now, a group of them. And it truly just melts our little hearts seeing them
truly
attend like every single New York Fashion Week together. It's so cute because they're from all over, but I feel like New York Fashion Week, side note, if you haven't gone yet, it's a really cool place to meet up with creators. It's like a creator meetup, honestly. So shout out to Nina, shout out Jewel, shout out Erin, shout out Liv, and shout out Alana. They are killing it at New York Fashion Week, and we love to see it.
Yeah, and it's so crazy to think that the first time they met was on one of our trips.
Yeah.
And, like, not knowing who anyone was, like, not knowing each other, literally all being strangers, to now going to Fashion Week together, doing Fashion Week, and, like, meeting up with each other. And it's just so fun and so wholesome that they were able to connect on our trip and then continue the friendship through Fashion Week. So it honestly gives me FOMO, and I'm like, should I just fly there right now? I want to see everyone.
I know.
And I miss everyone. And yeah, but they're killing it. Their outfits are so good. They're going to such cool events, and it's just so fun to see them thriving and thriving together. So we love to see that. And I feel like that was like the whole point of our trips, basically, was to foster that connection. So we love them so much and miss them. So just a little shout out to them this week. But that is a wrap on this week's episode. Definitely a long one, but good one. I feel like this is a really good episode. So hopefully you guys liked it too. And hope you guys have an amazing week, an amazing Valentine's Day week. Just remember, you are so loved. And yeah, I feel like that's pretty much it. We'll see you guys in our next episode. Bye, guys.
Love you. Bye. Thanks so much for listening. We hope you guys loved this episode.
Don't forget to subscribe for new episodes every Monday. Leave us a rating and review, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.